Welcome to the Evolution Eats podcast. My name's Noah.
And I'm Emily. And today we have Renetta Jenick, who is a female entrepreneur in the food space. She is joining us here from Sacramento, and we are really pleased to have her. She's going to talk about Foodom, her new food company. Thank you so much for being here.
Hi, thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
So could you just tell us a little bit about your journey to start? Like, how did you get inspired to start the company, and what is the mission of the company?
Sure, yeah, I would love to. So maybe just quickly I can just tell you what the company is about, because we're basically are aiming to be like Uber for personal cooks.
Mm-hmm.
So we're an online marketplace platform, and we're connecting local vetted cooks with people that don't have the time or skills or capability to cook for themselves. And they still want an in-home cooked meal, a good healthy meal. So how did it all start? It started with me being very busy working tech, raising two teenagers at home. And my husband is working full-time job. He has an auto shop. And we found ourselves coming back home every day pretty late. Early days would be like 6 p.m. Late days would be 8 p.m. or even later. And after driving the kids around to basketball, wrestling, we would come home exhausted and then spend hundreds of dollars buying groceries and then don't have the time to cook them.
Sure.
And throwing them away, which just broke my heart.
I hate
food waste.
Yeah,
and
that's one of the topics we talk about a lot on here.
Yeah, and it all started with my family. My father is a Holocaust survivor, so at home, when I grew up with eating everything from the plate. We don't, you know, waste food.
Mm-hmm.
And with the years, I developed, you know, the sensitivity to the environment as well, rather than just the personal experience of my family.
Yeah,
and with the kids, it was, and family, it was really hard to throw away hundreds of dollars every week. And then go and eat out, which has its own issues of wasting all this time sitting and waiting for food and then getting my food wrong because I eat my food with no oil, no sugar. And go and try and get it in a restaurant.
Oh, yeah, you can.
They, awesome. Yeah, it's 3-4 times. And again, more food waste, throwing away the food that is, you know, full of butter or cream. And then eventually when we did cook at home, that would be a whole fiasco of me and my husband. And my husband is a great cook, and I'm fairly okay as well. Hours in the kitchen.
Right. That's
2-3
time,
hours
right.
of preparing the food, cleaning the kitchen. It's about like midnight. We would just crash on the sofa, and then guess what? I have to go to sleep.
Yeah. I think that a lot of people could relate to that.
Yeah. I ended up just having no life, and my life surrounded around, we're around going to work, driving the kids around,
mm-hmm.
and then fussing in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And I love to do other things as well. You know, don't get me wrong. I love my job. I love my family and everything. But, like, I love to do triathlons. But there is just no way to do that because I didn't have time.
Right.
So
right.
I decided that I have to figure it out. You know, I have to find a solution for that. And I told my husband one day, you know what, let's have a personal chef.
Yeah.
And he thought that I'm crazy. And he said, like, we're not rich. What are you talking about? We're a normal family. And I have critical thinking, so I look at things in a different way, and I'm like, no, let me work the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I got it.
Mm-hmm.
And luckily, he was cooperative with that, and we tried it for a few weeks. It took me a long time, by the way, to find a chef.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently, there are a lot of great talents out there, but it's hard to find them because they're not good in marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And then after I found one, the process was, don't get me wrong, better than 10 hours in the kitchen a week. It went down to just an hour and a half.
Yeah.
But just that, to figure out the grocery list and the recipes. And it was still a headache. So, smaller headache, but still a headache. And I was thinking, how can I eliminate this headache and reduce it to zero? And I started to work on a solution for myself. And my friends loved it. And they wanted it too. So, as a good Intel person that loves big markets, I'm like, there is a demand here. Let's see. First of all, find your customers.
Yeah. So your background is in marketing?
My background is in marketing and business operations and semiconductors and big companies.
It's pretty different.
Yeah. It's very
different.
Yeah. It's very different.
Yeah.
But I did learn a lot of good skills of identifying large markets and also building the right business models and structures and working with large teams.
Oh, yeah, of course. Those are always transferable skills.
Although I must say that startups are very, very different than big companies. So I'm just taking the best I can from anything, and the rest I have to learn on my own.
Yeah. How are they so different? What are you learning that's challenging?
Well, I wake up this morning. I was like, I have problems with the website. And I thought about calling the 20 people at Intel, you know, the web developers, and then they have the HR people and the finance people and, you know, the corporate marketing. And then I look at this and like, damn it, it's just me. So, I wake up in the morning and it's all me. I need to do financial reports. It's me. And there are some things that I love more. There are some things that I'm terrified of. But I have to deal with everything.
Right.
It is what it is.
That's the hard part, right? More risk, more reward.
Yes.
So the entire team is just you right now.
So currently, I founded a company. I have a bunch of people that I'm working with. They're not employees in the company, but I have the web developers that I'm working with. They're a design and web development company. There is a marketing person that's helping me, similar structure. And there are a few chefs that are very interested in joining. And my goal is to raise initial funds, either through grants or pitch competitions, or I'll start it in a few weeks, say, you know, the seed funding.
Yeah.
And then I'll be able to hire the first two employees. So then it won't be just me.
Who will the first two be? What are their roles going to be?
Yeah, so the first one would be the person that will head all the chef's operation or the cook's operations.
Sure.
And then the second person would be the customer service / success person. We're hoping to reach the product market fit quickly. So when this happens, then we have like a wave of hungry people and chefs coming our way.
Yeah.
So I need to be ready.
Yeah. Oh, it's very exciting.
Yeah, it's very exciting. Yeah.
I think one of the first questions that arises here is, how do you get the right chef on your platform? What's the vetting process you go through to make sure that the person who's going to basically be the ground level purveyor of your company's product, how are they going to deliver the best service and the best version of what you want them to deliver? What's the process that you make them go through first?
Yeah, so there are a few things that the chefs are going through, and this is for, obviously, you know, the company, but also for the customer experience and for their safety and for the quality. So what we're doing, first of all, is making sure that all the chefs have food safety training, and it has to be valid. And they have to show us, and we're tracking the dates. So if one of the dates expired, they're you know, paused on the platform. They cannot accept orders anymore. The other thing would be insurance. So they have to have a general liability insurance. And the amazing thing is that from all the chefs I have on the platform, only one had it before. So that shows that it's actually we're increasing the quality of the people that are cooking out there in the market. Most of them don't have it. And then the other thing that we require, so we have, of course, background check, and they need to go through a test. So currently, all the chefs are going through My Kitchen paid. We're allowing them, you know, to prepare a meal, a simple meal. All the food on Foodum is basically everyday meals for dinners. It's not fancy food because people cannot live long-term and be healthy on fancy gourmet meals. So our goal is to have healthy...
We'll debate that later.
Well, actually, you're right. I must take it back. There are some chefs that can cook gourmet food that is also tasty and healthy without a lot of oil and you know, cream and stuff.
But it's challenging.
Yeah, it's more challenging. So our goal is to create this menu of healthy everyday meals that are also interesting and authentic. So the variety is wide enough. And so you won't get bored, you know, week over week, the same food. And for the chefs, it's going to be simple to prepare. And then it's like a win-win for everyone. So less stress for the chef. Customers get their food. It's all being done quick. The prices are affordable because it's simple. It's not something complicated. And then the customer comes home. Chef comes in and out very quickly. So the whole goal is to make all the process very efficient. So it will be cost-effective. And basically like Uber. You want to ride, get in the car, get to where you need to go, pay, done. Simple. In this case, you know, book your order, get your grocery list. Either you buy the groceries or the chef buys the groceries. Someone comes to your home, cooks the food, cleans the kitchen. That's it. The kitchen is clean and the smell is good. And I had to, you know, pinch myself a few times because the experience is like, it's like moving from hard drive to SSD. Once you move to SSD, can you go back to hard drives?
Never.
So that's how I feel, and the people around me feel, you know, switching to this. understanding that it's actually affordable. We're all, you know, DoorDashing, Uber Eats, you know, Dinnerly, HelloFresh.
Yeah.
Everybody's spending this money.
Yeah.
The question is, how do we spend and what do we get?
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I've trialed so many of those systems to figure out what's available. And, of course, there are people where, you know, you can't avoid at least seeing how those operations happen. They're just so common, at least here in California.
Yeah.
So, but to me, there's a lot of waste, a lot of middle operators.
Yes.
So there's a lot of problems that a service like this could potentially fix and address, which is good.
Exactly. That's actually, you nailed one of my key missions, and it is to reduce the food waste and also the packaging waste.
Yeah.
And make the environment and reduce the carbon footprint. Eventually, in the future, we'll have local people helping local people. So
it's a fun side note, but in fact, one of the most environmentally unsustainable things about transport, just in the world in general, is refrigerated transport. And anytime you have to ship refrigerated goods or do it in containers, do it in trucks, you're really putting out a lot of carbon. It's really energy intensive to ship frozen things. And the chemicals involved in ice packs and the extra packaging and insulation.
Absolutely.
More hassle.
Yeah, my vision in the future down the road, you know, in 5 years or so, is to tackle also the ingredient side.
Mm-hmm.
But just for, you know, as a startup, I'm basically maybe 3-4 months old,
sure,
to focus and,
sure,
and solve one simple problem. And then go to the next, and after that, another one. So the ingredients, and going back and reducing the amount of hands that are removed, that are, you know, involved,
sure,
in the supply chain.
Sure.
And one of my, and you know, it might change in the future, but currently one of my visions is to have some micro gardens, you know, on a local basis, connecting customers, chefs, micro gardens, and consuming everything locally, so you won't go through a refrigerator.
Yeah, now we're talking.
Yeah.
And then you can step in and control more of that process, and when you're actually producing and then cooking the food, now you have the whole system in the palm of your own hands, and you're not relying as much on the food supplier to sort of have this mysterious component for your whole operation.
And maybe, you know, maybe if I can partner with one of the big food suppliers out there, and we can together figure out a more efficient way. And I do have a few foods of like food or grocery stores, chains in mind to partner in the future and try. You know, it is what it is. People buy, you know, groceries from grocery stores. So if I can do just a tiny small change, it can impact so many people and it can save so much. It's like,
right,
every small change we're doing is huge.
Sure. It's not necessarily a leading question, but do you have any sense of how many people, what percent of people right now are still sort of doing this 20th century predictable traditional model of going out in their car, going to a grocery store, buying food, taking it back, cooking it, etc., versus sort of newer models of either ordering or ordering a prepared box of some kind? Is there a, do you have statistics on that?
So I have some statistics that I started to gather on the restaurant industry, on the delivery industry.
Mm-hmm.
So the restaurant industry is $500 billion industry. The delivery industry is $100 billion.
Wow.
And then you have the meal kits. It's throw in a few more billions.
Oh.
I think it's a $10, $11 billion industry.
Yeah.
And then you have the packaged foods that people buy and shove into the oven at home. This is another, I think, like few billions of dollars.
Mm-hmm.
So
wow.
Those are huge industries of pre-made food.
Yep.
And I'm working now on my, you know, on the market and what's unique about Foodum and what's unique about us being in our space. And there is something unique that it's being done currently on a very small scale by some chefs that are doing it, or there are a few websites that are trying to do it. What I'm bringing you is basically making it as a standard, very simple. You know, just go in, choose your menu, and someone will shop and go for you.
Mm-hmm.
Currently, I didn't see anyone that does it, and it's a complicated, very complicated thing. As I learned
to make standardized,
to make it so simple and standardized. It's a complex service, and I would say that it's more like a managed type of service. So I need to figure out, and I'm working now on establishing the model in Sacramento, in the greater Sacramento area, all the way to Cameron Park, Placerville, and then in Auburn, Granite Bay, and Davis. Actually, we can currently service Davis, and once this model is established and we're stable enough, then my plan for the rest of the year is to expand.
Great.
We have a few candidates, like the Bay Area, which is
of
a very
course.
Natural
that'd
one.
Be, I would say that
but
makes
I'd rather,
sense.
Yeah, I'd rather prove that this model can work in a city like Sacramento, because you know the Bay Area is unique. Mm-hmm. And if it can work in Sacramento, it can work in many other cities in the U.S.
That's a really great point. I think the Bay Area is so already available to and already sort of mentally ready to do systems like this. And it's not even new. And even there's probably competitors we don't even realize are out there. So in other places, Sacramento does feel a lot more like an average American city. That's a really good point. I certainly, there are very few startups realize that their amazing business model in San Francisco may not make any sense to people who are less tech savvy.
Yeah.
So it's a good distinction.
Yeah, that was my thinking. And so we're doing, like, just back to your question, we're doing this vetting process.
Mm-hmm.
And another thing that I want to make sure is also that the chefs are safe when they're going to people's homes.
Great.
So we have processes around that for the chefs as well. And they need to record when they arrive and need to make sure that everything's fine. And if something is not, then we can always, you know, jump and go. Or even some situations didn't happen yet.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's mostly now it's people we know,
right,
or a few degrees from the people we know. But going on, you know, in the future, we will have measurements to make sure the chefs are safe. And actually, what I was even thinking is to have some camera with the chefs. So Walmart have an indoor delivery service that started now, where they get into your house and put the groceries in your refrigerator. And they use a camera.
Oh, God.
So that's actually, you know, that's brilliant. So
the camera part.
You know,
yeah, for sure.
And that's definitely safe for the customer and for the, you know, the delivery person and probably
death
for the chef.
Of privacy.
Yeah.
No, and that reminds me of the delivery services that are putting things on people's doors now because they can access your door lock through smart services.
Exactly. So they're starting already to do that. And obviously, if you don't want to, you know, don't do that.
Sure.
But if, like, for example, the cleaning ladies come and, you know, into your house, then, yeah, if they have a camera, I would love, and it's only me, I can see them, you know, and for their safety as well, you know, you can see what's going on if there is any risk. So that's just the thing that I'm thinking, and I'm open to other new ideas.
Yeah, no, Noah and I talk a little bit about privacy. I mean, that's just a whole separate topic, like, but it should, if it's up to the person and they give consent for that, I think that would be, it would help the chefs.
Yeah, this is not a critique of this service we're talking about at all. This is generally a technology concern of mine that bleeds into other areas, of course.
Yeah.
But I think that people are going to be using this potentially when they're not home. So it's intriguing to think about, okay, how can you make that experience really smooth, simple, and safe? And obviously, vetting the chefs makes a lot of sense. Is there any vetting of the customers themselves to make sure the place that the chef is going is a good place to cook?
Yeah, so that's a good question. Normally we have the address, so
it's half the house,
you know, it's not like a car, a moving car,
right,
that can run away and
yeah,
we'll never find them. House probably will stay there. And we have a two-way review that we're going to be implementing in our new platform. So the customers will be checking and will be deciding if there's some actions that need to be taken.
Yeah.
And we'll do some checks as well. So currently it's still small, and we do some checks and databases that are available out there,
sure,
on the addresses.
Sure.
But going forward, I'm still building the processes around more robust, scalable checks.
Right. You think compared to people who get those meal delivery services or those box delivery services, the price would be comparable?
That's a good question. So I actually have a few customers that are using today, you know, the meal prep or the meal kit.
Right.
You know,
sure.
And they want to compare.
Yeah. So it's still, you know, I'm testing to see the cost. So I can tell you, for example, that a lasagna that can be for like 10, 12 servings with a salad and garlic bread. If you look at vegetarian lasagna, it's $45 without ingredients. Ingredients for that would be probably around $40, $50. So we're talking about like about $80, $90 of a meal for 10, 12 servings. So I think it is, if you compare it to the meal kits or the meal delivery, I think theirs are about the same for this amount of food. And
right,
we just,
I mean, you would expect it to be a little bit more because the cost of labor, for sure, that the chef would be.
Yeah.
So,
So our meals normally start at about $3 per serving.
Mm-hmm.
If you know, someone is ordering like 10 servings of the same meal,
sure,
that is the most efficient in a way to order. So there are some dishes that are like $30. So basically $3 for the preparation, and then ingredients or whatever you choose. You know, you can buy in Whole Foods, you can buy in Winco, and that will be price
difference.
That's
good. Yeah.
Or you can just get it in the farmer's market.
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting idea.
Do you have a sense of what percentage of people are buying their own ingredients versus how many are just saying, let the chef do it?
That's actually, I had some assumptions about this initially, and I found out that most of the people, when it's a sustainable type of solution that they're using like every week,
mm-hmm.
they prefer to buy themselves.
Interesting.
Yeah. And
I wouldn't expect that.
Yeah. And then when, it's just cheaper to buy by themselves. Mm-hmm. And if you buy online and you do the curb pickup, it's like $5.
Mm-hmm.
And the chef, we have a lower price, but it's going to be $25 per one store, up to $150 groceries. So if you're really in a rush and you cannot do that, then yeah, of course the chef will do it. But it's better enough for people to buy themselves.
Here's my pitch for you.
Yeah.
Partner with a company like Instacart that the groceries can meet the chef at the house, essentially.
Yes.
And now you've got both pieces sort of as fresh and local as they can be without having to make the chef go and do that legwork. A system that's already built up to do that legwork.
Absolutely. So that's going to be our second phase of the editing. We're going to seamlessly do that as well.
An option, sure.
So today what we're running currently a manual pilot where people can order online, but then there's some work that is done behind the scenes to process everything. In 2 weeks, we're going to be launching our MVP, which is the more advanced website where things are going to be done automatically. And with time, we'll add more features. And what you're talking about, online grocery shopping with e-cart, this is our next one after the website is up. So probably within a month, we'll enable this option because this is something that many people want. I'd rather do what people want first.
Yeah, of course. I mean, it just seems like a natural progression since we're at this point when you can get every other step, I think, of this process accomplished. People can do the shopping for you.
Yeah.
There's a service there.
Exactly.
And the final piece is putting it into an edible meal.
Yeah, that's the goal, to make it as simple as possible all the way until the kitchen is clean. We're improving the process until it's like completely perfect.
I would worry that someone would use this service as a way to get a free kitchen cleaning out of it, but
actually the service, $25 for a half an hour, and we clean the kitchen for you.
There you go.
By the way, actually, when I started, I felt myself as well in the kids and the house. I can talk about myself, not about anyone else. So we sometimes would leave the kitchen a little bit messy, and the chefs, would never say anything. So I decided to educate myself and provide this education for others, coming after. I tell customers, $35 for half an hour cleaning, no problem. If you don't have time to clean, we'll do it for you. And so far, no one paid, and I clean the kitchen and the kids too. If not, I'm charging them $35.
Right.
So that works.
Incentive structures.
So tell us a little bit more about how the platform really focuses on food waste.
Yeah. So in terms of food waste, there are a few ways to look at this. So when people, just go and do grocery shopping, like at least that I used to do and many other people are doing, we walk into the store, and actually it happened to me this week. I did two types of grocery shopping. One time with my son, we just walked in and bought whatever, $160 for whatever, plus, some groceries for some food. And then a few days after, we had a chef come, and I had a specific menu, and I had the grocery list, and I ordered it online with a curb pickup. And guess what? How much it was? $45. So when I go in with no restrictions and impulse buying, at least double, okay? This time it was three times more. It just blew my mind, and I kept the receipts and showed my husband. It's just crazy.
Wow.
I need to somehow articulate it in my marketing material and
right.
actually test it on people. I'm very curious. Don't get me wrong. I don't want, grocery stores still need to make a lot of money, and there is a way for them to make a lot of money. But just all these things that we're buying and we're not using eventually, and it finds itself in the trash, is waste.
Yeah.
So once I started working with chefs and have specific things planned ahead of time, then I reduced my grocery cost. I don't throw away food anymore. The price that I pay the chefs is actually less than the food that I throw it away.
Mm.
So I actually don't pay more. I save money.
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
I think we looked it up a few podcasts ago, and the average person is wasting at the very least $100 a month on food they're never eating.
$47 a month for a family, for a week, with kids.
Yeah.
That's on average. Now, the average take into account, very efficient people with different levels of income, they don't throw. That means that on the other side, you have people who throw hundreds of dollars
per
week.
Right, of course.
So, and I did the survey. I presented in Sacramento Veg Fest along with a dietitian, Linda. We had a presentation together in front of like 50 or 100 people.
Cool.
And I asked them, how much do you think on average, and how much are you wasting? And people started to throw, a week, people started to throw in like $100, $500, like this, that. And I'm like, what are you talking about? $47 on average. But that's people that have a little bit more, you know, their income is a little higher, they're wasting a lot. So, you know, if I can change one person,
mm-hmm.
the world is better.
Mm-hmm.
I can change five. It's awesome.
Right.
Of course. I mean, one of the core reasons you see food waste, people buy something they want to eat and then don't think about the cooking process and the actual time spent to make that edible. So.
And there is another thing, by the way. There is another thing to that. So I noticed. So I lost 4 years ago 80 pounds. I was 200 pounds, almost size 20. And I reached the point where I said, like, no.
Mm-hmm.
And I took myself a coach, a very strict nutrition, and changed the way I'm eating, the lifestyle. I changed it, and I lost 80 pounds. And
it's impressive.
I was back for health reasons, of course.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
I have for other reasons as well. So what I learned throughout this process is that when I'm in the grocery store without any plan, I buy my pretzels with peanut butter, and I buy my chocolates, and I buy all the things they love. Now that I lost the weight, oh, I can eat whatever I want, and guess what? Pounds are piling up.
Mm-hmm.
When I don't do that, and I basically what I don't see, I don't eat.
Mm-hmm.
So at home, I have the chef prepare the food, which is lean food with no oil, no sugar, healthy, tasty, still tasty. And the groceries, when I don't see them, I just buy what I need, and I don't have the temptation. So it actually helps me control what comes inside of me for health reasons and for maintaining, you know, my goals.
Yeah. I was reading an article, it really related to that, just in general, about self-discipline and, like, how to control cravings. And, yeah, it basically said exactly what you were saying, is that one of the best ways to avoid having the craving is just avoiding the temptation in the first place. That, like, most people are pretty bad at resisting the craving once it's in front of them, but if you can just take yourself out of that situation, that's the best way to, like, build
that's
self-discipline.
That's 90%.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And the funny thing is that part of the testing of the food that we're doing, I one time did a mistake and I ordered mac and cheese. Double the quantity.
Oh,
and the chef is
favorite.
Like, are you sure you want that doubled? And I'm like, yeah, no problem. You see, those are small bags of pasta. It's fine. Oh, my God. I could not control myself.
Yeah.
And I have even a picture documented with me, you know, with half of the pot gone and I'm still eating. It was just so good. So, yeah, just avoid it.
Right. It's just like, one step before,
You
know. Like, just don't even let yourself get to the point where it's in front of you.
So what's the sort of filtering process that you provide for the theoretical customer that you might have? Are you sort of letting them pick, okay, I want vegetarian, I want keto friendly, I want, so I only give me meat, as much meat as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how many options do you give the customer?
Yeah, so on the current website, we have a few categories.
Great.
And it's as extensive as it can be in a small pilot. It still solves, you know, the basic problem of the busy people who don't have time and want to save time. And in the new website, I do have a more extensive dietary options with keto and low fat and low carb, plant based, of course, vegan, vegetarian, and also types of courses, types of cuisines. So on the current one, also we have the cuisines, but I'll add more options so people can do filtering, searching, and filtering in a more advanced way, and help them find what they look for. And another thing that I'm planning to do on the new website is to have the user personas up front so people can identify. I want to have what she has because they're my type. I'm this type. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah. So just to make things easy.
We've seen that, I think, in online shopping, there's a lot of this sense of now you can have, okay, I want to look like him or her.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the person who's going to understand exactly how I want to style my clothes. And so they'll make it easier to buy things.
Exactly. That's my thinking. And it's like, and if I'm a triathlete and I'm training for an Ironman and I eat certain things and I work with a nutrition coach, which I don't yet, but I will.
Mm-hmm.
But I do train for an Ironman. I'm planning to do it in November. So, and I'm sponsoring the Sacramento Triathlon Club. Freedom is sponsoring them.
Cool.
So they did come and say, hey, do you have special foods for triathletes? So I can't force.
Yeah,
so I'll make it easy for them. Have some tag of like, you know, triathlons and go and get the good food, the high protein, you know, low fat and the right amount of carb and plant-based, so the body will get the right nourishment for this extensive cardio activities.
That's fantastic. And if nothing else, I've seen enough documentaries to know that extreme athletes, especially people who are really burning a lot of calories, have really interesting food needs that are totally unlike what the average person is eating.
Mm-hmm.
So even having a service that could come and assist with that, I think they would jump all over that. Whether it's extreme weightlifting or marathon runners, those people really need to be focused on what they're eating.
Yeah, there are, by the way, companies that do that, and they do it very well for the professionals.
Hmm.
What my thinking is to help a broader population and to make it broad for, of course, you know, I'll be happy to help the professionals, and then if they want also to help promote Puda, come on, I'm over, I would love to. And my goal and my mission is to make this affordable and available for everyone down the road. Starting with a certain group of people that I can just start with, but eventually expanding not only in terms of geography, but also in terms of the different types of customers and chefs. And for the chef side, we didn't talk about this a lot. So when I started all of this process, I knew the customer side because I'm a customer.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I didn't know much about the chef side because I knew only one. And the more I got to know the chefs, I was curious in the pilot. I wanted to see, does this make sense for them? Would they want to do that? Will the pricing be attractive for them? And will the setting be attractive for them?
Right.
Because many of them work in restaurants and work in senior homes and catering companies. I'm very happy to see that actually they're very interested. They're making much more than they can make in other jobs and work less on their own time.
Right.
So the
gig economy.
Yeah, so the food freedom is actually, you know, on one hand to customers, it's a freedom for preparing food, but for the chefs, my vision and mission is to make them free thanks to food because this is their passion. So free in terms of time, free financially, and improve their life. The skill, the cooking skill is undervalued. Like education is undervalued in our society. So if I can help this amazing giving people, chefs and cooks are very giving. It's part of their personality. And
makes sense.
Yeah, I'm happy to help. To help them get paid better and have less stress as much as they want. You know, some people want stress, no problem. Like, I'm not going to stand in your way. A few people already told me, look, I can't manage my family. I want to have kids, and I just cannot do that working 80 hours a week as a chef.
I think there's definitely a demand for it.
So, yeah, so it was very cool to see that there is interest from the cook side. And also, what I noticed is that many cooks don't necessarily, they're not aware of green cooking. And I do notice how they're cutting the vegetables, the stems and ends, and I'm like, oh, I'm never going to use everything, don't throw away this. And, you know, composting and recycling of the containers, the cans, buying with, like, you know, bags instead of the, you know, like the cloth bags.
Right.
The recycled bags, not the plastic bags. So there is a work that I'm happy to do on that end as well. This eventually, you know, basically is being sustainable on both ends.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's a lot of work to be done there.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's a hard value add at that point because people just want the food to appear. And they don't necessarily want to think about the staging and the supply chain, the sustainability.
Well,
so,
I think a lot of people in this area, though,
certainly,
are interested
it's a great place to start for that reason. But to have that be baked in as part of the process,
mm-hmm.
that's the dream. Because now you're educating someone by
mm-hmm.
just having it seamlessly be better. Without them having to exert extra effort, and we love that.
Yeah, awesome.
Very well said.
We talk about that a lot. We talk about how to introduce sustainable concepts without feeling like someone has to do extra work or learn something new. And if the only option is just to be better, people will be better.
It's a no-brainer.
Right.
You know, it's a win-win.
Right.
And the interesting thing, you know, for me, thinking about cooking is a big effort for me. It's like, oh, I need to cook. It's like, let me, you know, ride a 60-mile bike ride. It's easier for me than cooking. And then I asked this question on my Facebook, how do you relax? You know, for me, relaxing is jumping on the trainer and just, you know, getting into my mindfulness, you know, long distance, you know, activity. The chefs, all of them said that for them, cooking is like meditation, is the relaxation. So basically, by having these people come and cook for you, you're helping them do what they love. They're happy. You know, it's just beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Right, for all those people
I was surprised.
That don't love cooking.
Yeah, because in my
yes.
mind, I'm like, I hate cooking. Well, not me. You know, some people would think that they hate cooking. But actually, there are some people that really, really love
right.
it. They're out there, available.
Right. So you're getting the people to who love it to do what they love and making it possible for the people that don't like to
do other things that they love.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like, yeah, what would you do if you had extra few hours a week?
Oh, boy. So many things.
Like
so
what?
Very many things. I mean, I think there's a lot of self-improvement that I could be doing. A lot more just meditating, running, walking, seeing the sights, going to the park. There's so many things. Getting a dog. I mean, there's a lot of possible things I could do with more time. And I think about every day, okay, what is possible of being an entrepreneur myself, what is possible with more hours? And it's a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
I can talk to my team more, I can be more available to customers. So that's huge for me. And I still want to live in such a way that I have control over my food. So it's
mm-hmm.
super critical that I'm still eating well, even though I'm very, very busy. And I think a lot of people will be feeling that, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to get people to start caring about food a little bit more in general. But it's certainly happening more and more. We have these conversations, at least.
Awesome. Now, what about you, Evan? What would you do?
What would
extra
I do
time?
If I had extra time?
An extra 5 hours a week.
Or more.
Yeah, 10 potentially. Yeah.
I love to travel. I would always travel more, but I guess that's not necessarily something I can do every week.
Travel to other places than the grocery store.
Yeah, no, I mean, I guess that is what I would say, though. Like,
mm-hmm.
just do more
mm-hmm.
things
that
outside
love.
My house, like concerts or museums or
oh, gosh,
like
yes.
Yeah.
You know, there is one more thing that I started to research and to see how I can help. Obviously, the people that can afford it, it's a no-brainer. You know, they can always, you know, they find others, you know, they have a solution today, one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
But what they're really passionate about is helping people that are in need. And I volunteer with my daughter in Hands for Hope, and we did already second year in the Winter Boutique in El Dorado Hills. And
yeah.
I don't know if you guys have heard about this before. It's basically we're collecting clothes that were donated by different sources, schools, churches, and different organizations, and we create like a boutique-like place where before Christmas people or the holidays people can come in and eat and pick up for free 10 items, you know, per family member.
That's great.
And that's
wow.
that's really amazing. And then while doing that, I noticed that there are a lot of people that, well, that's my interpretation, that maybe they don't know how to cook in a healthy way, but they are extremely overweight and their kids are the same. So there is some challenge there that I was thinking, how can I help this population being, you know, having the chefs available? So we have these people, this knowledge, skills available, and we have these people that are not able to pay for that. So I'm thinking about creating this program with the government, and they have already the healthcare department, the prevention program, that they already do classes where they invite people to come to their class and teach them. But then the thing is that once you step out of the class, they forget and they go and pick up the easiest thing they can. You know,
yeah.
McDonald's is so much easier. You don't need to worry about anything.
Yeah, I have a nutrition background and actually have volunteered with organizations like that, Cooking Matters.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if it's really effective.
Exactly. And I wonder too, because I just see the results. And I love to solve problems, and I love to solve problems for people that really need help. So my thinking was to arrange a program where chefs come to people's homes and have maybe food bank or some farmers help donate some ingredients and groceries.
Yeah.
So these people basically will not have to pay. So,
yeah.
You know, it takes 21 days to create a new habit.
Yeah.
So with this program, we can take them for 21 days.
Habit.
We can actually change kids' lives and families' lives forever. And there will be less, you know, demand for hospitals and all the health expenses that these people come later on with diabetes and heart problems and God knows what. So I like always to look at the source instead of dealing with the symptom, go all the way to the source. And
yeah.
Hopefully we'll be very, very successful and we'll have a lot of customers so I can do my stuff and I can fund it without the government and I can move fast and create this kind of program and, you know, Foodum can create it on their own.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to ask. So is it like it would be a separate thing from Foodum?
No, I'm thinking about doing it with Foodum, like through Foodum,
with
the government. It would be better to have the government behind
sure.
it, but if it moves slow, then
that's the risk.
Yeah, then I'll just do it on my own.
Awesome. Yeah, and I know I didn't say that when you asked what I would do with more free time, but I love volunteering.
Awesome.
Yeah, I didn't think about that, but yeah, and luckily though, I'm a student now, so it's a little bit, since my hours are pretty flexible, I'm still sort of able to do that, but yeah, I think a lot of people with 9-to-5 jobs really wish they had more time to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I have a blog post that we posted on Foodom, and one of them was about, you know, exactly what can you do with more free time, and volunteering is actually one
it's really interesting.
One,
yeah.
And workouts, of course. I don't think I had a pet there. Maybe you should add.
Get a dog.
Get a dog. Daniel, lots of different things, which, of course, would be better with more time. But it's always a challenge, and I think we often can't predict what our day is going to contain. So having more known quantities than unknowns is always helpful in just freeing one's mind. I think there's a bit of an advantage there as well. So when you don't have to spend time planning and then spend the time executing, you're saving even more time, I think, which is always beneficial to people. And we often don't realize how much time we spend planning. We spend any sort of processing steps of our days. Mm-hmm. So anything that can smooth that over is important. Everyone's got to eat. We say this a lot. That's part of the reason why we're doing this, is that everyone has to have these conversations with themselves, mm-hmm. with people, with who they're cooking for, with or eating with. It's got to get done. It's not an optional part of the day.
Yeah.
You know?
We will die if we don't eat.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, before I started, I was thinking, like, you know, how can I help people? Like, what are the main things that people do every day? And I was thinking, people sleep, people have to go to the restroom, and people eat. Oh, eat sounds much better, you know. But, you know, it's touching something that many, many people do. Like, everybody has to do all the time, and there are so many different ways to do this. And if I can have a simple solution that will be affordable.
Sounds amazing. We wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
I'd love to ask as well, are there any sort of, aside from the humanitarian arm, are there any sort of dream features you're planning to add in the future to Foodom that would really be sort of your magnum opus for this, that would make you think, okay, now this is doing exactly what I want it to be doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are the sort of main focuses that would make the platform really exactly what you want it to be in your vision?
Yeah. So definitely what I want to do is to have it, to have thousands and tens of thousands of recipes, everything available.
Right.
If I can dream now, right? I'm closing my eyes. I'm dreaming.
Mm-hmm.
So
many options.
High quality, professional recipes. And it's hard to find high quality recipes out there. Almost every recipe needs to be tweaked to be good.
Mm-hmm.
And so my goal is to have unlimited resources of recipes that are high quality, with a very easy way. Well, ideally, with an AI, I can predict what you want even better than what you think you want.
Yes.
And then you don't even need to think about this. And you wake up in the morning, and everything is done for you. Groceries are bought. Maybe you need to press just approve in one place. And you're like, ooh, I would love to have the paella today. Or, ooh, this Indian food sounds amazing.
I think that matches super well with the personal profile we talked about earlier,
yeah,
right?
Exactly.
So you're getting that information from someone. Okay, what's going to make sense to them to eat, what they like to eat?
Yeah.
Now you can predict it, like forecast.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, use an AI concierge for food to come and offer you, so you don't have to worry about this. And then everything is happening in the back end. You know, you don't see anything. Everything is processed. And you come home, kitchen is clean, and it smells good. The payment, you know, it's like, we take care of this easily.
Yeah.
A lot of time savings. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's quite a future.
Yes.
When you were mentioning the AI, I was thinking there are so many great food blogs online that all they do is create recipes. Just to throw it out there, maybe you could.
Oh gosh, I did some research about the recipe creation process.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
But even if you could just like use an AI to take existing recipes already online.
Yeah, and then improve them. Yeah.
From the technological perspective, I think I should step in here and say that we often overuse machine learning and AI in forming new companies, but it is certainly possible. I just think it's foolhardy to think that the AI can, without a lot of training,
mm-hmm.
give
yeah.
you good advice.
Yes.
That's the real problem.
Yeah.
It's they're only as good as the information.
As
you
the
put
training.
In. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was my last role at Intel. I was the AI machine learning technology director.
So
in the client computing group. So we did the touch the space, and I know we have some way to go until we're there. That's why it's a dream. And,
right.
Yeah. But ideally, in the future, that's where I see like significant improvement in the process of helping you choose. And knowing better than what what you want, knowing better than you what you want.
Great. So thank you so much. We've really enjoyed having you.
Thank you. I love being here.
Yeah. So tell everybody where they can find you and Foodom online.
Yep. So our website is www.myfoodom.com. And
like freedom, right?
Like food freedom?
Food freedom.
Yeah.
Just to clarify if somebody missed that before. That's the idea for the name.
Yes.
Myfoodom.com.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, thank you.
Thanks so
much.
Once
again, thank you for being here. And this has been the Evolution Eats podcast.